Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Stack Overflow podcast. I am your host, Ben Popper, Director of Content here at Stack Overflow, joined, as I often am, by my colleague and collaborator, Ryan Donovan. Ryan, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm all right. How are you doing, Ben?
You know, pretty good. There's some sentient AI out there, so I'm keeping my eyes open, watching my six, you know, just in case it's listening.
They're going to take over our comic books.
Exactly. We're going to have a great episode today. A couple of things we're going to discuss are near and dear to my heart. You know, talking about maintaining legacy systems, figuring out new approaches there, and using a very like API-centric approach, which I think is what really speaks to modern developers. We have a great guest today. I'd like to bring her on, Claire Denton. Welcome to the Stack Overflow podcast.
Hi, guys. I'm Claire Denton, Director of Product Management at OpenText for the developer experience.
So Claire, for our listeners, tell them a little bit about yourself. How did you get into the world of software and technology?
Oh, it's a little bit round the houses, as I would say. Mm. I started out as an environmental scientist, really focused on, I was working basically for an executive agency of MAF called CFAS, focused on really improving the estuarine environments around the UK coastline. Somehow I ended up working at Amazon.
As you do.
Exactly, as you do.
Not in the Amazon, but for Amazon. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. And I was ordering the books for their homepage, which I really liked. There was lots of spreadsheets and analytics on what people were actually interested in buying. This was back in the days when Amazon really had actually just started. So showing my age now, we're back in sort of like the 1990s, the late 1990s.
They were focused on books, yes, only books at that time.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And basically to enable me to communicate with all the cool kids at the company, the ones that were building the websites, I actually learned some HTML. And I found I really loved it. It was kind of the perfect mixture between kind of science and art, which I also really love. And I probably unwisely financially decided I would leave Amazon, take my shares and retrain to be a web application developer. And and that's what I did for many years, really enjoyed it. Found myself moving to the US. My husband's job got relocated and started work for an enterprise software company as a member of their professional services team, focusing on implementing solutions with their business process management software, which kind of led with my application development background. And that's kind of how I got to where I am now, really, because I suddenly found myself being very opinionated about the software. I loved meeting customers and solving their solutions. Solving their problems, rather, and coming up with solutions. And in doing so, I found myself talking to the product managers quite a lot, going, if you added this to the product, it'd be so much better.
Gotcha. Can you tell me, for that time when you were working as a web developer, what sort of tools and frameworks were popular? Like when you were working with clients, what were you relying on?
Oh, well, initially I started out with just kind of plain kind of HTML and JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And then it was kind of ASP.NET. I forgot ColdFusion. ColdFusion was something I did a fair amount. Right. Yeah, the first kind of big website I maintained had lots of ColdFusion in it. And then I basically did some retraining because I wanted to get into sort of C# and .NET. And that's where I spent the rest of my time. I did a little bit of HTML5, which I really liked. And so now basically, to keep up with the engineering teams that I work with, I just kind of use Udemy to kind of try and make myself less rusty just so I kind of understand what they're doing. Been trying to master React. Understand a bit of that.
Very cool. I think ASP.NET is one of my favorite mispronunciations that I've ever done on this show. Really show people what I am, where my skills lie.
Oh, now you take me back, because basically I remember when I first heard about JSON, I actually spelt it wrongly. I spelt it as the name. And one of my engineers just kind of looked at me and just laughed. It's like, Claire? No.
Who is this JSON?
I regularly pronounce SQL as SQL.
Yeah.
Every day.
I think that's why I love this industry, though. There's always so much changing about it. There's only so many new things. You are continually learning, and that's what I really love. And Right now in my role as a product manager, I come up with kind of use cases from customers and problems to solve, and then work directly with my engineering team and my architects to kind of come up with solutions. And that's what I love. Lots of people brainstorming together and finding how to solve problems.
Mm. Well, it's a good transition. Would you tell us a little bit about where you are now and what sort of problems and solutions you come up with?
Yes. So basically, since I left my business process centric past, I found myself still actually focused on process. And the last probably kind of 5 to 6 years of my career, I've actually all been around kind of API platforms and developing APIs that developers will love. Part of that is actually thinking about kind of internal processes inside a company to enable us to get to a place where we can guarantee that we are delivering things that developers will love. That's kind of really where I am at the moment, really focused on the developer experience at the company I'm at called OpenText, and working with multiple engineering teams to develop APIs that meet the needs of our customer base. And an experience which really helps them kind of get to grips with what they're building, quickly.
Right. One of the things, Claire, that we discussed on the introductory call was the pain of dealing with legacy systems. Mm-hmm. We're not unfamiliar with that at Stack Overflow as a 13-year-old company. We had plenty of discussions internally about the monolith and .NET and where microservices may or may not fit for us. So tell us a little bit about, you mentioned one of the things that's kind of inspiring to you is a client comes with an issue, you get to sit down and brainstorm with smart folks about possible solutions. When it comes to legacy systems, what is OpenText relationship there? Like, what kind of problems do you find your organization is working on?
Oh, well, OpenText has grown up as a legacy vendor ourselves. Moving to the cloud model helped us understand firsthand what other developers have to go through, both in terms of the products we offer and the processes that help them deliver. That's why our developer experience is built with all developer types in mind, whether commercially focused, enterprise focused, low code or pro code. For OpenText, customers many of whom are in the largest 5,000 companies in the world, cloud is an evolution, and we have to understand where they have come from to provide what they want. So my role is to understand this, to provide developer experiences our customers and partners want, and to create the special experiences required to be successful in this space. Mm-hmm. With our services, APIs, and SaaS applications, we offer the ability to gently move and upgrade their infrastructure. Your core capture application, for example, it is a complex deployment, can be hard to scale and manage, but it can be unplugged to a large extent and replaced by our capture service and APIs. We've spent a long time honing these services and APIs so they can be plugged and played in sort of a low-code way, or developers can come and use these APIs and add capture capability to any apps that they need. Capture service, therefore, takes away the infrastructure worries, scaling concerns, as it supports cloud native. The same applies to archiving. This is a fundamental piece of what we do as an information management company, and OpenText has taken the Archive Link API and moved it to the cloud. So our customers only need to reconfigure, and they can make use of it as a cloud service. Of course, OpenText offers migration services with our professional service team and so on. Mm-hmm. We are a content management company, and a broad offering of APIs and SaaS applications are all focused on supporting customers, some of whom up to recently have been concerned about moving to the cloud. Now accelerated from the impact of the pandemic, to be able to gradually move and embrace the benefits of the cloud, we want to ensure that our customers can put their customers first and not be impacted with issues around disconnected, siloed content. That's really where our core strength is, to be honest.
It's interesting to talk about legacy systems. My mother was a flight attendant for years, and that's an industry that has had such difficulty getting off kind of their legacy systems because it's running in production, right? It is so, it's this data that's key and it's constantly there. Do you ever have to deal with customers that are running, maybe not mainframes, but really old systems that they're very afraid to kind of upgrade?
I think to Ryan's point, maybe, are there interesting examples that you would relate of clients who, as you mentioned, might be coming from legacy systems, OCR, or another kind of lift and shift, where we can sort of dig a little bit into like what it's like to make that modernization journey, mm-hmm. like any case studies or clients you worked with that you thought were interesting.
As I mentioned, we've seen some companies that have been nudged towards exploring cloud approaches due to the pandemic and the acceleration of people working from home. I start to think about some of our customers from the banking industry that need to share documents and content far more easily than before. They're finding that they need to extend their existing ecosystem through Core Share, and API's open text enables them to do exactly this without having to touch their existing infrastructure and applications. Mm-hmm. In previous roles I've had, I worked with British Airways producing their NDC APIs so they could actually sell their distribution, their tickets in different ways, and we kind of built on their 40-year-old back-end technology. So I'm kind of my background kind of it involves a lot of kind of understanding how to maintain a consistent layer to developers up, that's not going to change. But behind the scenes, we may be doing lots of refactoring, lots of changing, lots of making sure everything's still stable because things are a little old behind the scenes.
Right.
But
Yeah, that makes sense. So are there particular tools that you've worked on with your team when it comes to solutions that would help a company that's on-prem, start to make that digital transformation, make some of the resources they have more accessible externally to clients, or maybe, as we move to this sort of more remote world, more accessible to their workers who might be hybrid or working remotely?
Yes. Yeah. So basically, we have recently kind of introduced a service called Outpost, which our professional services team at the moment is working mostly with our customer base. And this really enables us to have a very small, lightweight client installed on the on-premise system of our customers. And then they can be able to, in a very securely, in a very secure, performant, kind of scalable way, connect to a SaaS-based offering and be able to access their data from the on-premise system. So we're basically kind of taking all of the hard work that they would normally have to have involved in kind of connecting their on-premise system with their new SaaS application and out of the picture.
It's interesting. So is that creating like locally based APIs that they're building off of? Like the Outpost, are they accessing that data through APIs or is it some other method?
In this case, there's no APIs exposed. Outpost works in conjunction with our SaaS applications, like Core Content, and it needs a leading application for configuration and usage. There is an agent, a small client placed on the on-prem system.
So I guess I had a question that sort of in a similar vein. We talked a little bit at the beginning about the importance of API-centric tech, both in working with developers at other companies, but also I think in attracting great developer talent to your own organization. And just that, that kind of interoperability and openness is key, I think, to rapid evolution and innovation within a company so that they can have a lot of strategic partners so that they can work with the new services or languages or frameworks that become possible. Can you tell us a little bit about sort of what that looks like at OpenText? The move to the cloud and the app, what is the OpenText API platform particularly well suited to doing, and how is it built kind of with the modern developer in mind?
That's a really good question. So OpenText has an awful lot of APIs. it has a broad range of different APIs available that really cater for nearly every aspect of information management that you can think of. From its kind of fax and messaging APIs that we sort of support kind of 10 million kind of transactions kind of annually, through to its kind of supply chain kind of APIs, where we sort of do $9 trillion of annual commerce kind of through them. We also have kind of security endpoint threat detection APIs, which are the second largest crawler to Google on the network. And so in that kind of broad ream of APIs, what I've been doing with my team is really kind of focusing on exposing logical building blocks, which kind of enable developers to extend the applications that they currently have or build new ones, and making sure that they're exposed to really good kind of REST standards, and that they're properly documented in OpenAPI, you know, spec, with interactive view documentation available on our developer.opentext.com site. So what we've kind of done is we're sort of really kind of focused in on sort of saying OpenText has got a broad amount of APIs. We want to gradually onboard relevant kind of building block chunks to the developer experience, ones that kind of make sense. So we've been focusing a lot on core information management building blocks. We've got our content management services, which allow structured folders to be created and content to be uploaded into them and security permissions to be set. So kind of quite low level sort of APIs, but they enable you to kind of build your own content management sort of structures. Then there's workflow, which kind of ties in all the kind of process automation and deeply connects to the other services that we have. We've got a signature service, a capture service, capture I mentioned before, that enable developers to easily kind of build kind of the solutions which make sense to them and to their companies. And then we've also got these core APIs that underpin as product features our kind of solid SaaS offerings like core content, where we provide a really great starting block, starting place for companies to start to leverage the SaaS capability that OpenText has. And with these offerings, we have got good documentation for developers to kind of extend those offerings using the service that I just mentioned, or you rapidly configure and roll out those applications to their customers through kind of our workspace APIs and data object APIs. Mm.
Wow, that's interesting. I wasn't aware that it ranged across so many things from supply chain to security. Do you have a sense of the company's sort of like history and how it got to this broad scope? Like, did it begin, as the name implies, with OCR and text, and then continue to build on services as clients kind of found new needs? You mentioned that at the beginning, and it seems intuitive. Come in and fix a small problem. Client says, hey, while you're here, can you fix this? This is how I talk to all the plumbers who come to my house. You know, while you're here, could you take a look at this? And next thing you know, they're doing seven different jobs for you. But what is OpenText sort of history, and how did it evolve to such a diverse set of suite of products?
So it actually was founded back in 1991. It was a partnership, it was a university project basically, initially. A partnership between the University of Waterloo in Canada and Oxford University to put the Oxford English Dictionary online. Mm. Yeah, from that, it just kind of grew to the company that it is today.
So that's like an early kind of like a Project Gutenberg or something to like digitize information and put it online?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They were initially looking at kind of search engines and building sort of search logic, but they ended up focusing on content management. And that's the space they've been in really since 1991.
Very cool.
We like to talk about digital transformation a lot, and a lot of companies on their journey. What do you think the future will be for digital transformation and you all at OpenText?
I think for us, it's to basically enable developers to be able to achieve their digital transformation as easily as possible. And we really focus on a broad remit of developers. You know, we're thinking about the citizen developer actually in the company, wanting to use kind of low-code, no-code software to be able to directly implement the changes that they need themselves. We're also looking at developers who, as we've been saying, are coping with legacy systems, wanting to modernize them, want to build something new, extend kind of some of our key kind of SaaS offerings as really great starting points. And then kind of our partners have got a broad partner ecosystem, and they want to be able to kind of build with our APIs and extend what we have and build new things as well. And we're really focusing on making that as easy as possible. You know, we've got, as I mentioned, a broad, diverse range of APIs that we're making sure we're delivering at a good to the OpenAPI spec standard, really well documented, really trying to enable developers as quickly as possible to hit the ground running with samples. We're also focusing on tooling. A lot of our APIs to this point have been sort of kind of headless, We want to make sure that we are now having widgets and starting points for developers to get to where they need to quicker. And with our VS Code extensions, which are currently available in the VS Code marketplace, they're in the beta stage at the moment. So really want people to try them, you know, see what they like and don't like, and give us direct feedback so we can improve it. we're really keen. I think this is one of the key messages I want to get across to you. We're really trying to be as developer friendly as possible to minimize the impact, to minimize the churn and to maximize their efficiency. We've got a developer community and a couple of beta programs happening at the moment that you can join. And we're really keen for the feedback from people.
Very cool. Yeah, I think what you said makes a lot of sense. There are interesting opportunities for citizen developers, as you call them, at a small law firm to figure out how to digitize stuff or set up a chatbot for answers, at an accounting firm to figure out new spreadsheets or, approaches on the low code side that can take some of those older processes and make them more streamlined and efficient.
It's kind of interesting, sort of when I first started out looking after business process management tooling, I was very focused on kind of citizen developers, or I think they're now called technologists. There it was kind of basically then working with web services and trying to make it easier for developers to extend with web services. And now we find ourselves in a very similar situation, developing low-code tooling and no-code tooling, but then actually having a suite of APIs that support those. So there are really great extension points for developers to then leverage do sort of more advanced kind of connectivity and deeper integration into a company's applications and really connect those disconnected systems together.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. It is that time of the show. Going to shout out the winner of a badge. We're fresh out of Lifeboats today, so shouting out SDK. He was given the Benefactor badge. It's the first Bounty You Manly award on your own question. How to make a dynamic slide-up transition? All right. Well, this question was bountied, meaning they needed a little help with the answer. Somebody came in and spread some knowledge. Appreciate that. Thanks for helping out the community. I am Ben Popper. I'm the director of content here at Stack Overflow. You can always find me on Twitter at Ben Popper. You can always email us with questions or suggestions, podcast at Stack Overflow. And if you like what you heard, go ahead and leave us a rating and a review. Really helps.
I'm Ryan Donovan. I edit the blog here at Stack Overflow. You can find me on Twitter at rthordonovan. And if you have a great idea for a blog post, please email me at pitches@stackoverflow.com.
I'm Claire Denton, director of product management at OpenText, focusing on the developer experience. If you'd like to contact me, it's cdenton@opentext.com. Really love to hear your feedback around our APIs and our developer program. You can learn about the services and APIs and sign up for a trial by going to developer.opentext.com.
Cool. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.